Tonight I want to talk about vision. I want to talk about the building that has been identified as the new home that I believe that God wants for us to have. And I just want to share with us that what I believe that God wants us to do with that building. And then I'm going to talk about how we're going to respond to that and where all the money's going to come from. But don't get put off by that, because I believe that God is a marvellous God, and that God is a marvellous God of provision. So tonight, I'm just going to get my notes, find them wherever they are, and start talking. So vision, if you look in the dictionary what vision is, you'll get probably up to about four different definitions. One definition is sort of the vision, sort of the looking through your glasses, that kind of one of the five senses that you can see. So one, that kind of vision. Unusual foresight would be a second definition, and that would be the idea that perhaps you might be Bill Gates, and you might have this idea of having everybody in the world having a computer on their desk and running an operating system called Windows, and you'd make billions of pounds out of it. You know, that kind of unusual foresight, you might call that vision, but that's not the kind of vision that we're talking about tonight either. We might talk about vision also as a mental image produced by the imagination. So if you were perhaps buying a new house, or perhaps thinking about how you were going to decorate it, you might go into one of the bedrooms and you might say, well, I can see that this would look nice with flowered wallpaper, and oh yes, wouldn't we have a nice little oak bed or an oak sideboard, and oh yes, a little silver vase with roses in it, oh, it would just finish it off, oh, and purple curtains, ah, I can see it right now. So you could say that was vision, but that's not the kind of vision that we're talking about tonight either. The fourth definition of vision that we are talking about is a spiritual awareness. Seeing what God is showing us. Seeing the supernatural, seeing the spiritual realm, being spiritually aware. Vision, the ability to see spiritually. And you have a few examples of this in the scripture in the Old Testament. You remember that Elisha's servant went out in 2 Kings 16, and he came back and he saw that the town Dothan was surrounded by the army of Aram. He said, "Dearie me, what are we going to do? We're doomed." And Elisha prayed that his servant might see. And the servant went back out, and instead of just seeing the armies of Aram, he saw the armies of the heavenly host. He saw the angelic host. He had spiritual vision. He had spiritual foresight. He could see the spiritual realm. He could see what others could not see. Another example would be in the Old Testament again, when Joshua and Caleb and the 10 other spies go out to spy the land. The 12 people go out, 10 come back saying, "Oh, we can't do it. The land is full of giants. The cities are fortified. We will be overcome. We are like grasshoppers." But then Joshua and Caleb says, "Well, yeah, that may be the case, but God's promised this." They had spiritual vision. They could see what God was showing them. They could see that this was the land of promise. They could see that this is what God had promised for them. Charles Swindoll said this: "Vision is the ability to see God's presence, to perceive God's power, to focus on God's plan in spite of the obstacles." So in Joshua and Caleb's instance, the other 10 focused upon the obstacles. But Joshua and Caleb focused on God's power. They could see what God wanted to do. Vision is seeing what God wants to do. Maybe other people don't see it, but God has revealed it to you. God hopefully is going to reveal it to all of us, what God wants us to do. Ruth Graham says, "The 10 compared themselves to their problems, but the 2 compared their problems with God." Vision is the ability to see life, not death, the best, not the worst, hope, not despair. It's not just wishful thinking, it's not just positive thinking, it's not just thinking on the bright side. It's looking on God's side. It's seeing what God wants to show us. George Barna, the American pollster, said this: "Vision for ministry is a reflection of what God wants to accomplish through you to build his kingdom." And I believe that God has brought us to such a time as this, to such a place as this. You know, I sometimes think, funny enough, I saw some photographs last night, and the photographs were of a Good Friday meeting that we had on the village green, I don't know, about 8 years ago. And the people that were there were all the Huddersfield folks that had originally come to this church sort of as bums on seats, if you like, just to help plant this church when we planted it those years ago. And I looked at those pictures and I thought, well, so-and-so's not here anymore, so-and-so's not here anymore, so-and-so, unfortunately, they died and what have you. And I thought, well, who is there that is here out of the original bunch? And actually, there's not many, about probably Mary, isn't it, looking around, and Alec. But God has brought others. God has brought you. God has brought you to here, to this church, for such a time as this. It's wonderful as I sit down and think about the people that have come to this church and with a wealth of experience. People that have been elders at churches, people that have planted churches, people that have been pioneers in churches, people that have planted youth work, people that have led churches, people that have been missionaries, people that have been to Bible college. And I sit down to myself, I sit down sometimes and I think, wow, all these people that God has drawn to us. You know, and everybody that I think, including you, I think to myself, dear gracious me, these people have got wealth of experience. They've got a heart in a certain area. They've got they've got wisdom in a certain area. And they've got they've got giftings in certain areas. And I don't believe that any of us are here tonight by mistake and at this church by mistake, because God has brought us together because he wants us together to do something in this place. We want to be a church that makes the headlines because people are saved. Because people are delivered. What I'm saying here is that God has got something for us. We're a group of people that God has drawn together to share the love of Jesus with people, to tell of what Jesus has done for them. Yes, through proclamation evangelism. Yes, through friendship evangelism. And I believe that Mike, in a couple of weeks or sometime when we arrange it, he's got something on his heart to share about church as community and church being more than just a church that is four walls. Yes, we don't want to be a church that just has a ministry on a Sunday. But we can minister to people 24/7. Doesn't mean to say that we're all going to be awake at that time of night, but you know, but you got the idea. This building that I'm going to share with you about in a minute, we can use it all week. Okay, so vision is the ability to see what God is showing us. And hopefully by the end of the night, you'll be excited as I am and others are about what God wants to do, because I believe God is leading us in a certain direction now. Vision is the faith to believe. Genesis 15:15, God said to Abraham, he took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And then Hebrews 11 said, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So you get the vision. You get the vision from God. And I'll share with that in a minute what I believe what God is showing us. You get that vision. You say, yes, God. But then vision is not only the vision to see it, but the vision is the vision, the ability to see it, but vision is the ability to believe it. Yes, Lord. I believe it. Claim it. I want you to do that. I agree. Yeah. What is it? Mark 5 says, while Jesus was speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Just believe. And what God has shown us, and you're sitting on your edge of your seats now, and what God has showed us, thank you, Lord, we've got to believe it now. But faith is not just the ability to see, the ability to believe, but the courage to act. Chris and Caroline will tell you the story how they were in a similar position with the church that they were previously at. God gave the church a vision about a certain building, and all they did, the church did, was sit on it for 15 years. Is that right? 15 years. And it took them 15 years to have the courage to act. Well, if we take 15 years, I shall be almost retired. Not quite, Nathaniel. I'm not that old. 15 years. 15 years, I should be almost retired. Well, I don't want to wait that long. I'm not going to be my final parting gesture of the leader of this church, the pastor of this church, is, oh, here's the keys to this building. No. Believe that God has wanted us to take the courage to act now. We all have a role to play. We all need to act. We all have something to do. In Abraham's case, he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Vision is the courage to act. I think we're going to have to move out of our comfort zones. But if you think about it, in the scripture, there were plenty of people that were called out of their comfort zones. And they said yes. Can you imagine a few characters in scripture who may have said, well, thank you God, but no thank you, when they were called? Noah could have said, sorry God, I don't do boats. Moses could have said, I don't like people. David said, could have said, I don't like giants, or, you know, I'm not into this kingdom thing, I'm just a shepherd. Mary said, I'm not into babies yet. Could have said, but God is calling us to act. Okay. So vision is the ability to see what others can't, faith to believe what others won't, will not, or cannot, courage is to do what others say can't be done. Whew. So, here we go. A building has been identified in the village that the owner is looking for the opportunity to sell. Hallelujah. Had a chat with him, told him, we just want a price now. We've not heard him on that one, but we're believing that we'll come back. I believe that God will prompt him to get back to us once we start being serious with him, with God, that is. A building has been identified over four stories, which includes a worship area of 100 to 200. We can adapt it. It can be as small as we like or as big as we like. And I reckon if we really pushed it, we could get 200 people in there. We could probably get a lot more in if we had closed circuit television and piped it to the other floors. But on one floor, we can get 100 to 200 people. So that's great. Because they say, church analysts say, that once you're 80% full, people won't come in anymore. So, you know, and there are quite a lot of people here, not tonight. So there's not enough room for us here. Certainly not in the mornings when we have all the kids shouting about. But this place has plenty of room for kids. I tell you something, we've got so much room that there's room for a ball. Is that a ball pool? Is that the right name? Yeah. Ball pool? Yeah. Play gyms? Yeah. You know, where they throw all these balls in nets and all these kids jump into them and make a lot of noise. There's plenty of room for that. Plenty of room for Messy Church to be resourced. Plenty of room for preschool and after school clubs. At the minute, because parents work, they have to drop the children off at a preschool club or let someone pick them up afterwards, and they go somewhere to be looked after until their parents pick them up in the evening. We've got plenty of space for that kind of thing. Plenty of space for youth. We've already, haven't we, Carol? We've already had the youth praying about what they'd like to see in that place. And they've already been praying into that. We need to do that again on Saturday night, don't we? Praying into what they'd like to see there. Plenty of room for pool tables. Plenty of room for table tennis tables. Plenty of room to reach this community for Christ. Plenty of room for a cafe. Plenty of room for a charity. All over these different four floors. Plenty of room for a charity shop providing people with furniture as well as other bits and pieces. Plenty of room for conference facilities. plenty of places for wedding receptions. Who wants to get married? Plenty of rooms for small group meetings. Space that could be made available to community groups. You know, the potential of this building over four floors is tremendous. When you think about what we as a church could do with that building, we could use it 24/7. Somewhere where the pastor can have an office. Office space that could be made available to other Christian organisations. This place is so big that you could say to a group, there was a group, Huddersfield Scripture Union Partnership, they're no longer in existence, they've dissolved now. Val was very much involved with them. And at one point, where did they have their office? Where did they have their office?
In Merton Street.
In Merton Street.
In 6119 Phillips.
Yeah, so they've had their office all over the place in tatty little corners, here, there and everywhere. There has been a filing cabinet in the corner of a room. We could say to organisations such as them, look, you can have space, we've got plenty of it. Come and put your filing cabinet in this room here. You know, I suddenly thought of something else when I was here, when I was just tripping over Joshua's drums earlier on. There's plenty of room to have a drum kit, so all you kids who want to bash around on a set of drums and your mum and dad says no because we've got no room and you've got to be quiet because of the neighbours, you can use it for that. Music lessons and goodness knows what. So, when I start thinking about how God could use this, it is phenomenal. God has given us the vision. He's given us sight of what he wants to do in this village. Do we believe it? Do we have courage to act? Now, as I say, we haven't got a price on this building, but, you know, when you talk to people, I reckon anything between £350,000 and £500,000, half a million. We need a 40% deposit, approximately £150,000. Now, you're all thinking, where's £150,000 going to come from? And he's going to now say, oh, I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell us to empty our bank accounts. And I'll tell you something. The thing is that even if we all did that in our room, probably we'd come nowhere near the figure anyway. So you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to ask you to do that. No, I'm not even yet. But what I'm going to ask you to do is, number one, pray that God will provide. Now, you remember when Claude Ellington came here the other week, the other month actually now, told the story about how God had he'd lost his house, hadn't he? He'd sold his house, and this fella had told him to put his money in some kind of investment whilst he looked for his second house, and meantime there was the financial crash and he lost every penny that he had in his house. And all he had was £150 in his bank account. Now, I can't remember whether I'm telling the story right, but it's approximately right. All he had was £150 in his bank account. And God told him that he was going to provide a house. Gave him the vision, you see? Gave him the vision. And Claude believed him. So much so that he went and saw this house, and he felt God say, this was the house. And he asked the estate agent, is this one for sale? And he says, it's the only one left. How can I put a deposit on this to secure this house? Because I believe that God wants me to have it. He said, £150 deposit. He wrote the last pound of his cheque. He wrote a cheque for the last money in his bank account for 150 quid. He had nothing. And on his way home, because he'd walked there, he was walking back to tell his wife that he'd just emptied the bank account of £150 to buy a house with money that they didn't have, with a job that he didn't have, with no income that he didn't have, because God told him. And on the way home, a man stopped him in the street and they said, oh, I'm glad I've just bumped into you, Pastor. I wanted to talk to you. Oh, what about? And he says, God's just told me to give you £150,000. And it was the money to buy the new house with. So when he got home, he could tell, oh, by the way, darling, I've just put a deposit on a house, and on the way home, I've got the money to pay for it. Now, I don't believe that Claude told us that story by mistake. I believe that was a God-anointed story for us as a church. And I need to speak to him and thank him for, you know, I believe that God was using him on that occasion. Just to say, yes, thank you, Lord. We've got the faith to see it. We've got the faith to believe it now. Thank you, Lord. You're going to provide. And the courage to act. Now, here's where we can get involved, because yes, we've got to pray that God will provide 150,000 at least. But secondly, I don't believe that God would want us to lay on our backs and do nothing and expect the money to fall from the sky. We can do something. We can make a contribution. We can give a little, and what little we give, God will multiply. So you remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? The disciples went out and they found two fish and five loaves. Five loaves and two fishes. And they said, oh, Jesus, all we've got to do, you know, we've got all these 10,000 people, all these 5,000 people that we've got to feed. And how are we going to do it? We've only got five loaves and two fishes. How are we going to do it? Jesus blessed it, and it was more than enough. And I believe that as we start bringing a little, God will bless it and multiply it so that we have more than enough. God will provide. And there are many simple ways that we can give without it costing a penny. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I'll probably put it into writing. The easyfundraising.org.uk, and that means simply that if when you buy something from Amazon, you click through their website, 1% of it goes to the building fund. I think we've already had £200 for the building fund just through that alone, and that's not cost anybody a penny apart from the click. And I think every search that you do through Easy Fundraising, if you go through their use their search engine, you get a penny for every search that you make. So we've got nothing to lose, but everything to gain. We just as well have it, rather than somebody else. So there's an easy way of doing that. So I'm just going to encourage you just to do little things like that. And also, how about this? Because I said that I wasn't going to bend everybody's arm for money. And I don't believe that isn't the approach that I should take or should ever take. I won't be bending or twisting anybody's arm for money. But what I will say is that give what you can. Give what God tells you to give, but then also think about things in your life where you make a saving whereby you can just give your saving to the church. So for example, at the minute, Amazon, if you buy £40 worth of gift vouchers, they give you another 10. Right? So I tend to spend a lot on Amazon over the weeks. You know, I tend to buy everything on Amazon. I only went to town for the first time in 6 months the other day. I never go to town, I buy everything online. Buy from Amazon or eBay or whatever. So I knew that I would use these gift vouchers, but I've got an extra £10 that's given me. An extra £10 that I've been given that I will now give to the building fund. So you can do similar things like that where maybe you get a bargain and you say, oh, thank you, Lord. It was going to cost me a tenner, but it's only now cost me a fiver. You know, with that extra fiver that I've got, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give it to the building fund. It's not cost you any more, but God has given you it to invest in the kingdom. So very simple ways that you can play, that we can play our part. And what we're going to do, we're not going to have a little thermometer, Blue Peter thermometer that goes up to the building fund, but we will have a little box on the back table whereby week by week you could just put your envelope in and say, building fund, this is what God has given me this week that I want to give back to him. It's amazing when you start praying, Lord, give me some money to put in the building fund, he'll give you some money. And then what you need to do is you need to put it in the fund. Okay. It won't cost you anything because God's given you it. Okay. Amen. So you ready to act? Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you ready to move? Right then, what are we going to do? Oh, is that it? Yeah, a little surrender to the Lord goes a long way. And that's it. So I want to encourage us as God's people to say, yes, Lord, we're up for it. You've called us here for such a time as this. You've got a job for us to do. You've got a ministry for us, for our gifts to be exercised in. You have got a community of people that are unsaved that God wants us to reach. And I believe with this building that God has highlighted to us, we can do it for His glory.